He has so much for His people.
Yes, amen.
And we're trying to live and get by on so little. And we suffer for it. He doesn't. He's got so much for us. If we would just reach out and receive it. He's got a balanced plan. It's balanced. It's not unbalanced. It's not out of kilter. It's not off color. It's not. It's in place. It's neat. It's everything's right in God's kingdom. Now everybody may not be right, but His plan is right. Amen. And He has so much to offer us. I don't know about you, but I am glad to be part of the kingdom of God. Amen. And like I said, if we, I know what Brother Woods is talking about. This past year has been a rough year for the wife and I. We've gone through a lot of things, family-wise, my son, and different things, and church-wise. I've said it before. And I think the average person in here maybe a little bit takes it for granted, this church for granted. And it's a sad mistake that you're making. Sad mistake you're making. You don't take it for granted if you've got a good church. You put all the efforts you can to keep it that way.
Come on. That's right. Amen.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. You line yourself up with it. You line yourself up with it. You say, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to keep this church. Because let me tell you something. The devil ain't targeting those churches he has. That he's already got mass confusion among them. He's not targeting them. But he's targeting those that is getting something done for God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is moving, where the Word of God is preached, where the power of God is among the singing and the joyful sounds, that's one he targets right there. And I'm telling you, don't you take it for granted. If you ain't got all you need, pray God help me get all I need. Help me to line up. Help me to do my part. This, and let me tell you something. The church was birthed in power.
Amen.
It was birthed in power. Amen. Day of Pentecost is proof of that. Birthed in power. That was a fullness of, that's when the church was fully born, right there.
Right.
On the day of Pentecost.
That's right.
And God wants us to stay, doesn't He?
Amen.
Amen. Have your Bibles turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I've learned better than to try. I've almost learned better than to tell somebody what I'm going to preach on, because the Lord most of the time changes my mind when I do. And so I told somebody last night, and God had changed my mind. So I believe this is of the Lord. I've thought about it ever since I've gotten here, and I believe this is of God. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I'm going to read a little out of chapter 5 also, one verse of Scripture anyway. Deuteronomy 4 and 9. I hear you turning pages. I'll wait on you. Amen. They told me to take my time if I wanted to. So we're going to do that. Amen. Deuteronomy 4, 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Deuteronomy 4 and 23. Go down to verse 23. Now I want you to listen what he's taken now. He said, take heed. He said, take heed unto yourselves. But he's doing it for another reason. Now listen, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he hath made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. 5 and 15. Remember, he said, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. You may be seated if you'd like. I want you to go back with me. And he said in verse 9 of 4, he said, 4 and 9, he said, only take heed to thyself and diligently, keep thy soul diligently. And here's the reason why. He said, lest thou forget. Lest you forget. Then in verse 23, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget. Lest you forget. And in 15, he said, and remember. I want to preach to you for a little while on don't forget, remember.
Hallelujah.
Don't forget,
hallelujah,
remember.
Hallelujah.
So many times, you know, after God has done great things in our lives and helped us and blessed us, we have a tendency to, when things get better for us, we have a tendency to forget what God has done in our lives. And that's one of the reasons then we get slack, we get unconcerned, we get at ease, and sometimes even get indifferent about some things. Even in the church, we get that way. I mean, about things in the church. And our lives and our families, and things don't go right for us then. We get to looking at what's going on around us. We forget that the Lord has brought us out. And in one place, I believe it's Deuteronomy chapter 6, can't remember exact verse, but he said, the Lord brought thee out that he might bring you in. He brought you out that he might bring you in. Now, a lot of times what's happening with us, the Lord has brought us out, but we fail to let him bring us in. And he told them in Mount Sinai, you know, he said, I brought you unto myself. You're mine. And you belong to me. And so a lot of times what happens with us is that the Lord brings us out of sin and out of iniquity and out of rebellion, out of bondage and all those things. Then all of a sudden, he wants to bring us into himself.
Yeah.
I mean, he wants us for his own.
Right.
He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to love us. He wants to supply our needs.
Right.
And we forget where God brought us from.
Right.
We don't allow God to bring us in. You know, maybe little habits, little things here and there will appear in our lives. And it seems like it's too much trouble to get rid of that out of our lives. And we feel like that, you know, we're not ready to fellowship God. And really, we're not. He wants the world out of us. He wants sin out of our lives. He wants selfishness and greed and all these things. He wants it out of our lives so he can have fellowship with us.
Hallelujah.
And so God said, I want you to remember. And he took them back. He took them all the way back to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this particular scripture here was Moses making his last appeal to the people to keep things right.
That's right, brother.
He was going to die. He was going to go up on the mountain, and God was going to let him die and bury him.
Yeah, that's right.
Because of one disobedience.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
That's all it was, one disobedience.
Amen.
And God was trying to teach Israel. He was trying to teach Israel, listen, I want you to be obedient to me. I want you to remember where I brought you from. I want you to remember where you was and what was going on in your life before I brought you out of Egypt's bondage. And if we're not careful, we'll forget where God brought us from. We'll forget the methods and the means that he used to get us out of the world. If we're not careful, we'll forget all of that. I want you to look at verse 9. Only take heed to thyself keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. But teach them, my sons and thy sons' sons. We're living in a day now where it's good enough for us, but it's not good enough for our children. We don't mind separating ourselves, but we'll even, I've heard people even make the mistake say this, that, I just don't want my children to do without. You know, I want them to fit in. You know, I want them to be a part, you know. I feel like, well, hey, I'm a part. You look at me this morning. I am a part. I'm a part of God's plan. I'm a part of God's salvation. I'm a part of God's deliverance. Hallelujah. He has delivered me. He has set me free. He has brought me out of bondage. Hallelujah. Into liberty. He said, do teach it to your sons and your sons' sons. To your sons and your grandsons. I'm glad that my son knows, and the other night we were talking, and it's kind of caught me a little off guard. Sometimes, you know, you think he's not paying attention, you know. He's out in sin and been backslid for now like 18, 20 years, and it grieves me. I can imagine how God feels when one of his children backslides and gets out, you know. No more fellowship, you know. But he and I have been having some fellowship as much as we can, you know, with him serving the devil and me serving the Lord. We were talking. He said, Daddy, why don't you, I was telling him about something or talking about something. Why don't you have a talk with him? I said, he won't listen. He said, but you're his elder. Why don't you talk with him? I said, he will not listen. And then it turned around and just gave me a place to insert something right there. And I said, talked about him being saved, you know. I'm looking forward to the day when God will save him. You believe God's going to save him? Yes, I do. I believe God's going to save him. I'm praying. I'm the priest of my family. Oh, the Holy Ghost is here. I said, I'm the priest of my family. You are the priest of your family. And I said, I'm looking forward to the day you'll get saved. He said, well, just keep on doing what you're doing. Just keep on praying. What he was saying, keep on praying. And he knows that I'm his only hope, or me and his mother and his family, his sisters, we're the only hope he has of getting out of that. He's a slave. And God told these people here, he said, you were slaves. You were slaves. I delivered you out of Egypt bondage. You had rough taskmasters. I tell you, the devil hates you. He wants to put your soul in hell. He has no use for you except to destroy your soul in hell. That's all the use he has for you. But I'm telling you this morning, God loves you. He paid the price for you. He said, I brought you out with a strong arm. I delivered you with the maximum power. Hallelujah. He used his arm, his right arm, for an illustration. I can tell you, this is a man, if he lifts his left hand, this is a man's strongest arm. Hallelujah. And God said, I brought you out with my strongest arm. Hallelujah. He destroyed a nation, amen, to deliver. I can tell you, God will destroy the world out of your life if you will allow him. You don't have to be a slave to the world. You don't have to be a slave to sin and ungodliness. You don't have to be a slave to the habits of this world. He wants to deliver you. That's what he said in 6 and 12. Then beware lest you forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You were in the house of bondage. You know, us Christians sometimes, we only think of right now. We don't hardly ever go back And I don't want us to go back and want to go back. I don't want us to do that. No, that isn't what I'm preaching this morning. I'm just telling we should remember that we have not always been a Christian. We have not always been saved. We have not always had victory in our lives. But I can tell you, there's victory this morning. If we want it, there is victory this morning. I feel it running up and down the avenues of my soul this morning.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed to have a church like this.
Oh, yeah. Come on, brother. Come on now.
I don't want to run anybody down or hurt anybody. We just don't have this in our church. We don't have it.
Come on, brother.
You're living... You're living, I can tell you, on the hallelujah side. Yes, you are. Now, I wouldn't say this church is perfect. I'd be telling you a lie if I told you this church is perfect. I'm not going to make that statement. I'll make the statements right here in front of these pastors. It is not perfect. But I can tell you, you've got a lot of things that a lot of people don't have.
Amen. Come on, brother.
And you got some pastors that's with desire. They're with hunger and thirsting. They want this church to go forward. Amen. They realize that they were in bondage one time and God delivered them, saved them, brought them out. Come on. And I can tell you, He's got deliverance for whoever wants deliverance this morning. God's got deliverance for you.
Come on, hallelujah.
He said, chapter 8, verse 2, I want you to look at that with me. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And you know, God could have brought Israel to the line of, to the demarcation line. He could have brought them over to where they would have went into Canaan land in a matter of a few days, no more than 3 months or so. That would have been a long, long trudge for them. He could have brought them a lot quicker than what he did. You listen to me. But you know why he brought them through the wilderness? So he could prove them. So he could sanctify them. Pharaoh said, hey, let's go after them. Said the wilderness is going to hem them in. Said that wilderness is going to hem them in. He knew what that wilderness was capable of doing. But he underestimated their God. And when we think that God cannot keep us and bring us through and deliver us, I don't care what your situation is this morning. I don't care what kind of family you're from this morning. I don't care where you've been and what's going on in your life. I can tell you, God can deliver you out of that situation. We just need to remember that He loved us and brought us out. God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And here's four reasons why He did it. One of them was to humble thee. And that's a lost art now. Even in the spiritual realm, that's pride's the last thing we get rid of. It's the last thing we get rid of. We take pride in something. If it ain't nothing but take pride in our type of worship. We got to watch that stuff. I tell you, you'll get in trouble like that. Your worship has got to stay pure. God could have took Israel and took them into the Canaan land just like that. No problem. God was very able and capable of doing it. They got down there and got ready to go in. Pride was to be prisoners, to be in bondage, and be brought out. They were full of pride, eaten up with it.
That's right, brother.
And we sometimes, God has miraculously sent His Son, shed His blood, sent us sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I say sanctification. You know, that's the between the two of them. But I can tell you one thing. You're not going to get to heaven without sanctification. Your pastor's not going to set me down for that. I don't believe that. You're not going to get to heaven without sanctification. Because God has chosen you to salvation, what? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. No man, without wholeness, which that word is synonymous with sanctification, without wholeness, no man shall see the Lord. God is going to do it. That's the reason. You're right, brother. That's the reason we don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost greater in our lives than what it is. I'm telling you, because we didn't let God sanctify us wholly, and some things has crept in, and now we need to go back to sanctification again. It's a lost art among the wholeness churches today. It's get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. They're taking a shortcut. Israel wanted to take a shortcut. They didn't get to. You know, God took them by Mount Sinai. He said, you're not going nowhere till I introduce worship among you. We're not going anywhere without worship. We're not going anywhere without praise and adoration to our God. No, we're not going to get anywhere. And in that worship and in that, God teaches us His ways. He teaches us His principles. Come on. And then He can work miracles among us. Hallelujah. And they turned back. They got there and saw the line. I mean, they sent out 12 spies. And they brought back an evil report. And did you know those 10 spies that brought back evil report? Did you know they were responsible for over 600,000 deaths? An evil report kills, it destroys, it tears down. Don't let the enemy of your soul bring up an evil report in your heart, in your life, in your mind. Say, hey, I'm going to stick with the truth of God. Nay, nay, hey, say, nay, hey. You're not going to get to heaven with your clothes on. That's not going to take its appearance of heart. It's going to take you to heaven.
Hallelujah.
Remember, where God brought you from. He had took them by Mount Sinai. He had instituted worship. And even with that, after they got there, down there to the line, and those 10 spies, just 10 people out of, listen folk, out of possibly 3 million people. 10 spies. Evil report. Been a lot of evil reports brought up in families. Been a lot of husbands and wives didn't want to follow the ways of the Lord. Been a lot of young people didn't want to follow the ways. I know I got the right message this morning. Didn't want to follow the ways of the Lord. Over 600,000 men, warriors, died off.
That's right.
They was having funerals every day. I once figured it up. Basically, how many would be, and it was just awful, how many every day died. They forgot. They forgot that God brought them out to bring them in. Somebody needs what I'm preaching this morning. To humble thee and to prove thee. Number two is to prove thee. Number three was to know what was in thine heart. Know what was in your heart. I don't have time to cover all these. God wants to know what's in your heart this morning. God knows that what's in there, but He wants you to see it. If God can discover it and open it up to you, then you might do something about it.
Amen.
Somebody here this morning, you've wondered what is wrong with your happiness. What's wrong with your peacefulness? Where it's at? You're wondering where it's at. I can tell you where it's at. You're not doing what God wants you to do. You haven't got everything out of your life. He's furnished us with everything that we need to have a sanctified, holy life. And that's what it's going to take to get to heaven, folks. And God told them, said, you're going to have to obey me to get into the promised land. You're going to have to fulfill my plans. And that's what it's going to take to get to heaven, fulfilling God's plans in our lives. Amen. And number four was, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. Whether or not you will keep my commandments. That was one of the things. God said, I took you through the wilderness to prove you, to humble you, to know what was in thine heart, and whether you would or not my language, whether you would or not keep my commandments. And then He said in 8 and 11, He said, remember to keep His commandments. This beware that lest thou forget, that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments. Remember the commandments of the Lord. Remember, you're not free. You're not your own. You are not your own. You're not going to ride this church to heaven. You're not going to do it. Somebody talk. No, my son-in-law don't talk to me. My son-in-law doesn't talk to me. God talks to me. And you're not going to go to heaven because you're a member of this church. And you're not going to go to heaven because you've got your holiness clothes on either. You're just not going to do it.
Amen. Amen.
You do what you want to with it. I'm not smart. I'm not smart. Matter of fact, I'm humble to the point of tears. I love you. I look forward to coming here to this church. It's a place I can worship. It's a place I can hear the Word of God preached. Brother Ross, what are you saying? You just listen to what I'm saying. I don't have to go into details. I come here because I get to hear the Word of God preached. I've been preaching the gospel for 37 years. And I know when the Word of God is preached.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's preached right here. Mm-hmm. You got some good preachers in this place. Good men. Yeah. Good men. You got some good members. And I don't know anything about any of you. I'm just preaching what the Lord's laid upon my heart. Amen. Let me go on. I'm not going to get through. I see that. 18, verse 18, 8 and 18. Don't forget where your blessings come from. And I want you to listen to this. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. It is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. If you're trying to get rich in the commercial world, in the money world, by yourself, forget it. You cannot do it. He didn't give you the power for you to get rich. He gave you the power for Him to make you rich. And that's the way you're going to get rich if you get rich at all. Some people can't handle it. I guess I'm one of those. I don't have a lot. Doesn't bother me. Somebody said something in this camp meeting, and it was Brother Doug. I don't remember now, but we just need to realize that God's going to meet our need, our every need. And I've learned over the past few years, especially since I retired. Well, I haven't retired. I retired from pastoring. And since that day, I've had a lot of times where we did not have enough money to go all the way to the end of the month. You know, I think sometimes, you know, you wonder if the month lengthened or your finance shortened. You know, you wonder. But anyway, God has never, 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 never failed me. Never, never let me down. I pay all my bills on time. Hello?
Amen. Go ahead. Amen.
I eat all the time.
Yeah.
Come on. I've always got money to put gas in my automobile. I don't have a lot of extra, but I have all I need. He didn't promise me extra. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All of your need, the spiritual and the physical and the financial. He's done that. He's done that. Hallelujah. I got to hurry. Amen. Glory to God. 24:9, if you want it. I just want to give you this way. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way. You know, she had some off-colored remarks to make. She talked about Moses, the leader. Hello? And what did God do? Struck her with a leprosy. Oh! Here it is. You wonder sometimes some things are going on in your life. You haven't been talking about the preacher, have you?
Come on, brother. Go ahead. Come on, brother. Go ahead, bro.
Remember. Now, why would he say that? Why would he say, remember what God did to Moses' sister? You know what he's saying? I'm going to do in the future what I've done in the past.
That's exactly right.
I'm going to make you pay for those mistakes you say. And though when you talk about the preacher, that's dangerous. Hello? Run the preacher down. let me go. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, let me give you a definition of remember. Keep. To observe. To preserve. Hallelujah. To retain. Treasure up in the memory. Treasure up. Don't forget what God has done in the past. It may not all been good, but if God done it, it was for a lesson. It was to bring you to a certain place. Amen. Take heed, take care, beware, remember. I want to quote you some scripture out of the New Testament. 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, verse 1. And chapter 1, verse 5. It said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness charity. These things be in you and abound. If these things, now listen, if these things be in you and abound, they do what? They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath what? Forgotten. Hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins, cleansed from his old sins. He's forgotten. Paul said to young Timothy, said, remember the gift. Remember the gift and stir up that gift that's in you. Stir it up. Remember. Timothy, go back to the time that the presbyter laid hands on you and you received something. And remember what you received and stir up the gift that's in you, Timothy. You know what God is saying to us this morning? Stir up that's in you. Let God stir you. Remember where you were. Remember what you've received. Remember what God's done in your life. Remember what God wants to do in your life. Let God take you back and show you one more time what He has already done and what He's able to do again in your life. If you will just submit to Him, God can do it again. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a sit-on-the-bench Christian. And I don't mean up a shout Mizzou heels off either. No, but I want to be a blessing. I want to be an instrument. Come on. I want to be. I want God to use me for His honor and His glory, not to get credit, not to be lifted up in pride, but just so I can say that I'm an asset to the kingdom of God, that I'm a blessing to the kingdom of God. Amen? Remember, Timothy. Remember, church. That's what Peter was saying. You forgot. If these things are not working in your life, Peter said, you have forgotten.
Right. That's what he said, brother.
You've forgotten that you was purged from your old sins.
Right.
Woo!
Come on.
Listen, saints, to what he's saying. You have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins.
Yeah.
Are you what you was when you joined the church?
Come on.
I know this. You say, this is a pastor. This is a pastor's place. This is what God laid upon my heart. In the battles of life, when Nehemiah and the wall was, and they were fighting their enemies, and the enemy was trying to destroy what they were about to do. They were about to rebuild the wall. They were about to go back where they could protect themselves, brother Dan. And the enemy was fighting them, and there was confusion among them, and there was a lot of things among them they hadn't got out. They hadn't made everything clear out of their own lives. Right? And so Nehemiah said to them, the battle didn't look so good. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. I don't know about you, but I'm going to stand up and fight for my family. Come on here. You ought to be helping me. I said, I'm going to stand up and fight for my family.
Go ahead.
Shoot. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Psalm 63:6, when I remembered thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. I remembered you. I remembered God. A lot of people do. I don't know how they do it sometimes. They go to bed, boom. Sometimes I do. I go to bed, and the next morning I remember I didn't even tell the wife I loved her. And I didn't even tell her good night. I got up the next morning. I said, I went to sleep on you last night. She said, you sure did. Time your head hit the pillow. I said, that's good, clean living. Good, clean living. Hallelujah. It is.
Yes, it is.
It is. Good, clean living. But sometimes I've had the Spirit of God wake me up wee hours of the morning. Want to talk to you. Spent some of the best times of my life talking to the Lord. Amen. Remember where it's at. Remember what God has done in time past. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. early in life. You remember? Ecclesiastes 12 and 1 said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, while the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no more pleasure in them. In the time of trouble, you need to remember, my soul, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and to thine holy temple. You need to remember that God brought you out, and you don't want it, because when you quit remembering that God brought you out, you'll go back.
Amen. That's right.
You'll go back. You will absolutely go back. You'll wind up in the hog pen. And well, fame filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He remembered his father's house, though. That was one good thing about it. He remembered his father's house. Got so hungry, he remembered them meals that the father used to put on the table.
Yes, he did.
Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. He remembered, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And when he comes to himself, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Then he said, I will go back. I will go back to where I was. I'll repent. Hallelujah. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, listen, somebody else was remembering. Somebody else was remembering. The father was remembering. He remembered how it was when the son was there. When he sat at his right hand or left hand at the head of the table. And he looked up, saw him coming, run, fell on his neck, kissed him. I want to take you to another one. Just cuts short here. Zechariah 10:9, and I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries. You get that? I'll sow them in far countries, from their home, away from their home. And they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. Turn again. Psalms 137:1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required a song of us. And they that wasted us required of us, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Look at verse 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, the church, folks, and your salvation should be above your chief joy. You can go out there and get in just clean stuff, having pleasure with your family. Not a sin. Not a sin to do things with your family. But they'll never take the place of your fellowship with God right here in His house. Never will. Never will. I don't know about you. I don't usually cry too much when I preach. I don't know about you, but I can tell you one thing. I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm glad I'm part of God's kingdom. I'm part of His salvation. I'm part of His deliverance. I remember when pride and arrogance, jealousy, and envy and strife dominated my soul. God delivered me. I was a Baptist boy. I had nothing wrong with Baptist. I'm not talking about organization. I'm not talking about nobody. I'm just talking about I found freedom. God delivered me, set me free. The wife and I was married and we was about to be separated. Jealousy runs so rampant, and I had no right, no reason to be jealous. Runs so rampant in my being. And I just cried out to the Lord. I said, God, if you don't help me, my marriage is going to be destroyed. Temper, I had a temper so bad, I'd get so angry. Hit the wall and keep from hitting the wife. Just a bad temper. God came to my rescue. He took that jealousy away. Just like that. Just like that. And since that day, I've never been jealous again. He can do it, folks. And I remember where I was at. I remember that I wasn't fit to do nothing, be nothing in the church. God found me. He saved me. Later, He sanctified me. I went without the baptism of the Holy Ghost a long time. It was totally my fault. It wasn't God's fault. It never is and never will be God's fault. What He wants is a total, complete surrender. Amen? Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I've always said if God could do it for me, he can do it for anybody. And he can, folks. He can do it for anybody. We just remember, need to remember where God brought us from. We didn't climb up. We didn't pull ourselves up by our own bootstrings. Come on here. It took a loving God to reach down and get us out of that miry clay. Come on here. Set our feet upon the solid rock. And established our way and established our going. Woo! I don't know about you, but I feel good in my soul. Hallelujah. Remember where he found you. Where did he find you? In the miry clay. Come on here. He found you in the hell holes of the world and brought you out of those things. Hallelujah. Lifted you up, cleansed you. Come on. Glory to God. Glory to God. Raise your hand and praise Him. He delivered you. Hallelujah. You've been set free.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Repent. Do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. Remove thy candlestick out of its place. Except thou repent. He ain't given us no option. Remember where he brought you from. Remember. Something's crept in. Something has crept in to cause you to look back or to go back to some of those things. It has. It's crept in.
Come on, man.
Remember how you received, how you heard. That's revelation. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. forgot to quit. One of the problems is that we left our first love. If we go back, we left our first love. I looked up that left our first love. And did you know? It's like they use the words like a husband and wife getting a divorce. You left. You didn't lose it. You left it. If your experience with God is not what it needs to be, you need to remember the day you got saved. You remember how God found you and why He found you. You remember where He brought you from and what He's done in your life. That's exactly what you need to do. And go back and do your first works over again. Hallelujah. Let Him save you, sanctify you, fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He even said, I'll come remove your candlestick out of its place. You can sit on the most spiritual church, you can sit on the bench and die and go to hell. I know that's hard words. It's the truth. I tell you right now, God's talking to somebody in this building. He's talking to somebody in this building. Stand with me. If you're here this morning and you quit enjoying your salvation, you need to remember where the Lord brought you from. You need to go back. You need to go back. I've got nothing I want to trade for that trash out there. Nothing. No. This altar's open. This altar's open. If you need something from God, it's open. I know we got dinner. I know all those things. But listen, let me tell you something. This is more important this morning than that meal you're going to eat back there.